I don't know about you, but that amen made it for me. Right? Oh, it's great to look out and to see our children here today. Let me see the hands of all your children out there. All right, some people need to grow up. Okay? So I just want to make this invitation. Any of your children, if you would like to come up front and sit in the front rows, I would love to have you. If it's okay with mom and dad, come on up, okay? All right, come on down. And I got to say, it's a bit lonely up there, so I'm coming to you today, all right? All right, you know what? I didn't even say teens, but Alex stepped up and came right up. Thank you, Alex, man. Set the example. Okay. Come on. You're never too old to sit with the kids. So, this is good. Hey, where's your sister? Oh, okay. All right. She's hiding out there. All right, we're going to take some time. Yep, no rush here today, okay? This is Family Sunday. This is the second month that we have done this. And I have to tell you, I really look forward to this time. I want to talk to you about getting back to basics this morning, but I want to ask you, why are we here? Now, guys, some questions are meant to think and reflect on, and that's one of them. But I'm going to ask some questions that I'm really going to count on some of you to give me an answer and help me with today, all right? Because I think in helping me, you're going to help the rest of the congregation too. But it's been on my heart and mind to ask the question, why are we here? Why are we here? You can have a chance. You can have a chance. This is one of those reflect on this kind of question, okay? All right? So, because we need to think about that. Why are we here? And that has been rolling around in my mind. And I think that if I were to ask, obviously the answers are going to vary, and they're going to be very different from our children to our teens to our adults to our senior adults. Because of our life experiences and where we are in the journey. And so as I talk to you today about getting back to basics, our children are going to help us do that because they're going to play a significant part in our congregation. In fact, they are part of our congregation, and someday they're going to make up a big part, God willing, of the church and our congregation. And so it's important that you guys know that this is like one of the most exciting times for me every month, is to be able to spend this time with you guys upstairs. Because otherwise, most times you're downstairs, and the only time I see you is when I come down to the fellowship hall. So I have a question. Now, this is a question you guys are going to be able to answer. And this is not for the adults, okay? So adults, okay? But let me ask you. Do you love your parents? Now, wait, yeah. Okay, I like the excitement there. There's no doubt in her mind that she loves her parents. Janelle and Brian should be like, oh, wow, you know? Do you love your parents, and do you love them with all your heart? And that means this. That doesn't mean that we always get it right, okay? Because growing up, I didn't always get it right, all right? But that we love our parents, and that we really do our utmost to honor them and obey them. Now you can answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. So the next thing I want to ask you is, how? How do you show mom and dad that you love them? Go ahead, Josh. Okay. What, how do you like to help out?
I just
sometimes ask. Oh, you ask? Wow. All right, go ahead.
Listen to your mom and dad.
Okay, so you listen. So now, does that mean you're just listening, or do you actually do what they're saying? Okay, I just wanted to clarify that, because I already knew that about Tim, all right? I had no doubt, but I just wanted, for their sake, Tim, because I think sometimes as adults we listen, but we don't always do what we're supposed to do, okay? So it's important. How else? Anybody else can tell me how you show your mom and dad you love them? Go ahead. You obey them. That's awesome. 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 Now, I know as we become teens, it gets a little bit more challenging because we get to that stage in our lives where all of a sudden, as teenagers, we actually start to begin to realize that we know more than our parents, that we got all the answers, we realize how smart we are, we kind of see that they diminish in wisdom and that they really are struggling to get it, you know, to get it right, you know. So that's tough. So now I wanna ask you guys, and I think you're doing a great job helping us adults understand. Because by the way, getting back to the basics is getting to a place where we can more simplify what we need to know and do it and understand it. So you guys are helping us with that today. So now let me ask you this. Why love your parents? Why obey them? Why volunteer to help out even when they don't ask you to? Why obey them? Why? Go ahead, Josh. Okay. God is always with you, and he wants you to always do the right thing. Okay. What's that? I'll think about that one. Okay. What else? Why love mom? Why loving mom and dad? Come on. Think about it.
Make pretty good food.
Oh, okay. typical teenager answer, but I love it. They feed me. They feed me. When I get home, there's always something in the fridge. I know that they do the shopping and they get it. They get that done right. And so whenever I come home, I can eat. That's excellent, Alex. Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. You want to say anything to this? You sure? Okay. All right. Go ahead.
You can just love them.
Okay. Okay. That's right. Just simply because it's there. All right. Why else? Why else? Good.
We love our mom and dad because Jesus loved us first.
Oh, okay. Setting the example. Okay. Okay. Well, let me give you some food for thought this morning. And these are all great answers, by the way. And you guys have touched on it, especially Alex. They provide. Our parents provide for us. They're always there, right? Guys, is there ever a day you wake up and at least one of your parents is not in the house? Girls? Right? They're always there? Right? Right? Yes? No? Josh, be careful. Careful now. Okay.
But
so if they're not there, what adult is? Oh, I knew that. I knew that. That's why I had to lead you there, okay? Because listen, we can't. You know, they can't have any doubts in mom and dad's character here, okay? This is a public setting here. Hold that thought, Tim, okay? But they're always there. They're always providing. They're always caring. They have loved you from the start, right? From the very beginning. Now, I know that because to the day my mom left the earth, I know that I was the second. I was the baby in the family. There's only two of us. But I was always the baby, and she always referred to me as that. And I was in my 50s, okay, guys? And I was still mom's baby, okay? But the point is that she always loved me, and your parents always love you. They always provide for you. In fact, there are days when they look at you, and they see themselves in you. They see themselves in you. Sometimes when you guys speak, they actually hear themselves in you. They catch a strong resemblance of themselves in there, you know? And so it's a big part of why that their actions, their day-to-day journey with you and loving you and seeing you and providing for you, everything that you need is a big reason why we love our parents, okay? And because parents love us, they take time to instruct us and teach us. Now, maybe Maybe we get to a certain age where we don't think that we need that instruction, or we don't feel that they have anything else to teach us. But the fact is that we have something to learn for as long as we live. In fact, I will never forget being at a Met game with my dad and sitting there beside him and him saying to me, as long as you live, you'll always have something to learn. Never forget that, okay? And so hold your thoughts, okay? Question time is over, all right? Okay, all right. So the thing is that God is the same way with us as a parent, a godly heavenly parent, is that he instructs us, he teaches us, and he loves us, and he made sure that we would know that when he sent Jesus down to live with us. In fact, we're gathered here. One of the reasons why us adults are gathered here today is because somewhere in our lives, Christ has made an impression. Somewhere in our lives, God has said something to us, maybe through someone else, that really caught our hearts, and we started to believe, and we began to follow, and we have been doing so ever since. And in fact, I want to say to you that you're here today because your parents love you so much that they want faith to be a part of your life. They want to influence your lives and instruct you in the ways of having faith in Christ because they know how important it is. Now, for the adults, guys, I have been talking to them. Last week I talked to them about living a life where we share. I called it an exchange life, but where we share what we have. Now, I bet you guys, and I've been around you, I bet you're great, and I see it from time to time, you're great at sharing. You share with your siblings, you share with your friends, and that's what it's all about. And really, God has expressed that in so many ways to us to be able to do that. But I want to say that what has dawned on me, and someone has come to me and said, you know, you're talking about us getting out of ourselves and exchanging, but if we don't have this relationship with Christ intact, are we going to actually do that? Do we actually get it? And so that has been resonating with me. And I've thought about it, and I thought about God's instruction to us. You know, Jesus loves us so much that he has always looked to instruct us. When he was on earth, he was challenged by others who thought they had more knowledge than him and that they had it over in him. And so they came to him and started questioning him. And I think it was in an effort to try to trap him. But Jesus didn't take it that way. Instead, he turned it around and he used it as an opportunity to teach and instruct. And so I want to go to that scripture this morning from Mark 12:30. Okay. And it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. You see, they said to Jesus, basically, what's the biggest thing that God expects from us? And what should we do with that? And what is it? Tell us. And he came out and Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. That's a huge, huge statement. And Jesus had it right on, and they knew it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It made perfect sense. But they heard it. But they weren't really doing it. And because one main factor was that they had this religion, but they didn't have a relationship. And you see, and so, guys, it's for adults as well. We can come here every Sunday out of habit because we've been taught, because we've been trained, because our parents one time told us this is what you have to do. This is what you need to do. This is where you need to be on Sundays. But are we wrapped up in the relationship that God has provided for us? It's important. We need to have the relationship because that's what makes all the difference. It's one thing to come here and sit, but are we feeding the relationship we have? And we can apply that to so many different aspects in our lives. People who are married can say, yes, I'm married, but are they building their relationship with one another? Are they growing? Or do we become like two ships passing in the night? We could say, I have a family, but am I engaged with my children? Am I spending time with them? Am I spending significant time with them? Am I sitting down and having a heart-to-heart? And this is what I really look forward to in having our family Sundays. It's a time where we can be intimate, and we can have a heart-to-heart, where the children come in and they become a part of our environment because they are a part of our environment. And so it's so important to have this relationship, because that's what makes a difference. Not religion, relationship. And so they were missing it. And how could one tell? Because there's a phrase, and I'm going to ask you guys, the proof is in the pudding. Does any one of you know what that means? That's an old term, okay? So, you know, another way of saying it, how could it be proved out when somebody is actually doing the right thing? Go ahead, Josh. He is, but how can you tell if I'm doing the right thing?
We have the answer in our heart
from God. Okay. We do have the answer in our heart from God. How can you tell if I have the answer in my heart from God? When you look at me, are there certain things that you can tell? Am I putting you on the spot? You can use anything. Let me say this. The proof is in the pudding means this, is that, let's say mom. Does mom ever make you pudding or jello?
Yeah.
All right, mom. Okay. So how do you know if the pudding or jello is good?
By trying it.
That's right. You try it, right? It's like, wow, mom's got it right today. This is good, right? You try it. When the proof is in the pudding means that when we look at life, we can see whether it's right or not. Because the proof was in the pudding. The results, do they have it? Are they doing it? So I'll give you an example. How can I tell if Josh and Tim really know how to play hockey? Probably if I watched them, I would see that the proof was in the pudding. These guys get out and they'll play. How do I know some of our kids here are good at cheerleading? Because I've attended and I've watched and they can do it, right? And so there are different things we can see. If somebody says they have something, that they can do something, if they say they're an architect, we can see by the designs that they come up with and the buildings that are constructed, right? How do I know the proof is in the pudding when Pastor Nick says he can play the guitar? Oh, yeah, that's all you got to do is watch him, right? I watch him every Sunday. I know he can play the guitar. The proof is in the pudding, see? So when Jesus looked out, he saw people that were lacking, that they had this religion, but they didn't have this relationship, that it wasn't in the way they were living. And see, and that's what led him to go to the next important part, you see? Jesus made an important statement, but there was a part two. And we're going to look at that right now. Part two to his statement was in Mark 12:31. And it says, this is the second. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Right? Love your neighbor. You see, they had this religion, and they said they loved God, but something was very much lacking. It's the love of their neighbor. And I want to say to all of us, that the first commandment feeds the second. The second is critical to our faith because it is the expression of our faith. You know, it was said, How can we love God whom we don't see if we cannot love our neighbors who we do see? See? So a lot of the proof in our own puddings, if I could say it that way, is how we treat others and how we live our lives, how we conduct ourselves. And are we living our faith in a way that is making a difference in someone else's life? Okay. One must come up alongside of the other. And so it is so important. The first doesn't make sense without the second. The second doesn't make sense without the first. We need to be living our lives out. The second is our evidence. Living in love towards one another and kindness towards one another is the evidence of what we have and possess in our faith. And so it is crucial. It's crucial. It's crucial. And if we are going to be a people who are going to make a difference in our communities and in our worlds, our place of businesses, the two must be joined together. The relationship must be intact. When my relationship with Christ is not intact, people suffer for it. They lose out. They don't have what's available to them and for them through Christ, who lives in us, who lives in me. And so, why are we here? To worship today, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, to lift up our hearts to Him, to sing to Him, to pray together. Why else are we here? To love our neighbors. To love our neighbors. The two must go hand in hand. We need to be a people that are always mindful of each of them and keeping them close together. And so that's the importance of our time. That's why we're here. And that message is incorporated, encapsulized, and brought together and housed in one box, in one package, when we come together like this, and in a moment we're going to take communion. Now, in time, you guys, if you haven't already, you're going to take communion. You're going to go through a class, and you're going to learn about what it means, and you're going to do it. Right? For the adults, we come together now, and we're going to take communion. And the message of the two commandments and living of them is taken and incorporated into communion and reflected in a very familiar verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Can we take this moment out? Let's read it together, okay? Can we read it all together? For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. Yeah. You see, that's why we have the opportunity to be here. That's why we can actually get to the place and the reason why we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Just as your parents have given their lives to you in daily care and provision, God does the same. In fact, God is our example to do so. Every day of our lives, He is there providing for us and caring for us. He gives us the reason why we ought to love Him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and the reason to love others. And in a moment, we're going to remember why it is that we love Him, why it is that we are here, why should we gather week after week after week, month after month after month, through our entire lives. It's for the very reason that God loves us. Right? So I want to invite the ushers to get ready to come forward. And as you do, I want to pray. If we can bow our heads, ushers. Oh, Father, we are a people who have been blessed beyond measure. Lord, we have been given a life that is so precious. Gifts beyond our greatest imagination, O Lord. The fact that you have come and you have loved us, that you continually give yourself to us, that there isn't anything that we have done that has not been forgiven or that couldn't be forgiven. Lord God, you have washed every stain, every offense, every cross word, every impure thought from our lives, and you have made us whole. We have every reason to worship you, every reason to praise you, every reason to bow down before you, O God. And because we have been granted this great gift of life and eternal life, Lord God, we are a people who are indebted to you, Lord God. And so, O Lord, with this great debt of love that we owe you, we bow down before you. And we remember you today, O God, as we do every Sunday, but in a very special way today, as we take communion together. Lord, make the elements holy to us, O God, as they trigger our minds and our hearts to the very thing that you have done for us. Lord, let there be nothing that stands in our way from taking today, O God. Lord, we bring ourselves to you. We open up our hearts to you. There isn't anything that is not seen by you or heard by you. So you know us fully. And, O God, let us, as we come to you as we are, knowing that you fully love us and accept us and take us to your arms over and over again. Lord, thank you for this time. Let's stand together. How I thank the Father for this family. Be with you in this way. It's a very close and intimate time, and I am grateful for it. And just as Christ did and met with his friends on that night, we meet together. And on that night he said, "This is my body, broken for you. All of you, break it and eat together." And then later on, he took the cup and he raised it up to heaven and he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Each of you take it and drink." Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for this most sacred of times, oh God. Lord, I can cut the intimacy with a knife. Lord, thank you for loving us. Oh God, I pray, continually draw us closer to yourself. Lord, lead us, guide us. We continually need your help in every aspect of our lives, and we are not ashamed to call on you and depend on you for it all. Now, Lord, I pray, pour out your blessing, your richest blessing on your people today as they leave this place. May you walk with them and be present in their conscious minds, not only throughout this day, but throughout the week, so that when they come back next week, oh God, they have stories to tell of your goodness, your love, your kindness in their lives and through their lives to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. No, not until you play.